Turning your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 12. We'll begin here with verse 33. And if you'll just keep your Bibles open each time that we have another point, we'll have another text. And there are some things that we want to look at today from the Scripture that deal with your heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. You go to a doctor, a cardiologist, if you want him to take a look at your physical heart. You go to the Bible if you want him to take a look at your spiritual heart. Mark chapter 12 and verse 33, the Bible says, and this is the scribe replying to Jesus Christ and a question that he'd already asked, Jesus Christ had answered. In the context, beginning with verse 32, the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength. And to love His neighbor as Himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." But notice what He said at the beginning. "And to love Him with all the heart." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Heavenly Father, we ask You please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've already talked to You many times about this service in prayer, we pray now, God, please, magnify Your words. May Jesus Christ work here with great liberty in the Spirit of God. May Jesus Christ be glorified and honored. And Father, I pray today that our hearts will be open and our minds receptive to the words of God. Lord, I pray that the preparations of the heart of men have been made by You, and that when they give response to You from the things they hear today, we pray that the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. We ask You to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's a great opportunity that we have these days. If you want to get preaching during the middle of the week, there are many avenues. You can go to the radio. You can go to the internet and listen to anybody. There are a number of websites, and they have the names of the preachers and the sermons they preached and the texts from which they preached and all of that and the circumstances around that. And I like that because from time to time I can click on a sermon and listen. And I happened to listen to one that was preached in Brother Joel Logan's church recently, I think during one of their missions conferences. It was preached by a veteran missionary from Papua New Guinea named Ted Mullins. And in this particular sermon, he was preaching about the voice of God. And he says, the voice of God is not audible, and we know that. We do know that you could hear the voice of God if He were to speak out loud and talk to you, but since the Word of God is written and you have it in your lap, He speaks to you through the Word of God, and He speaks to us through the leading of the Spirit of God in our lives. So when you ask the Lord, "Lord, what do You want me to do?" You know what He said? He said, just give Him His heart. Give Him your heart. He'll take it from there. And you know, I thought about that. I thought that's a pretty profound statement because oftentimes we say, "Lord, what do You want me to do?" And what we have in mind is, do You want me to go to engineering school? Do You want me to be a preacher? Do You want me to go into law enforcement? I'm already working. Do You want me to switch jobs? Do you want me to switch houses? You know, should I move to this city or stay in that city? We ask Him those kinds of questions, and we're looking for His leadership in our lives about specific things. And He said sometimes we get caught up in looking for the details of our employment, our housing, our families, our occupations, our schools, and those kind of things, whether or not we should be in the ministry, and we overlook the most important thing. And the most important thing is to just get your heart in His hand and then let Him do with it what He wants. Because once He's got your heart, He has control of your life, and once He has control of your life, He can go with you anywhere He wants to go and under any circumstances. And that's a very profound thought. We really don't need to struggle or agonize with God about what His will is for our lives if He's got our heart. And if He doesn't have our heart, we don't need to agonize about those things. We just need to get our heart in His hands. You don't really need to frustrate yourself over whether or not you are in the middle of God's will right now or whether you're doing enough for Him right now. You don't need to press God for perplexing questions about your life. Listen, if He has my heart and He has your heart, you know what? You'll see what He wants you to see. Brother Mullins was talking about going into some unevangelized regions of Papua New Guinea. He's sitting there watching a river flow by, and he was like, Lord, what do you want me to see? I've been to several places. Where do you want me to go? He said, you see lost people, and they don't know me. What more do you need to see? In other words, look at what I'm looking at. See it the way that I see it. And it came from being in a place, listen, where God has the heart. Listen, we just need to give God our whole heart. And He will take it from there. Now, when we know that the Lord has our heart, there are a few things in the Bible, listen, that we need to do, and they are clear when it concerns our whole heart. And when you find one of these things, you know what? You just need to put your whole heart into that thing. So today what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some things that we need to put our whole heart into. Okay? And the first thing you read is right here. It's the love of God, or loving God. You and I need to put our whole heart into loving God. He said, and to love Him with all the heart. You know what that is? That doesn't leave room for anything else. To love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength. And He said, that's better than sacrifices. And that's better than offerings. You say, well, where do I start in loving God? I mean, He's not tangible to us right now because He's spiritual. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So you don't see an idol in here of the God that we worship. And you can't feel Him like I feel this pulpit here. And you can't see Him like I see you and you see me. And you can't hear Him like you hear the sound of my voice, and yet He speaks with you. So you say, how do I love a God like that? Because you and I are used to loving things that we feel and see and hear. They say, you know how you do it? You start by reciprocating His love. You know what the Bible says? We love Him because He first loved us. Listen, He made the first move on this thing. So you don't have to conjure up some way to love Him. Just receive the love that He has given us and reciprocate that love. Put your whole heart into loving God. When was the last time that you were alone with God and you said, you know what, I'm not going to look at my phone, I'm not going to look at my computer, I'm not going to look at my spouse, I'm not going to look at my food, you know, my list. I'm not going to look at all these things. I am just going to put my whole heart into loving God. When was the last time you did that? Just took a portion of a day somewhere, cut everything else off and said, just you and me, God. You say, well, I don't know that I've ever done that. And you know something? The truth of the matter is we go. We go to the office, we go to church, we go to school, we go to bed. You know, we go to recreate. And we never stop long enough to just love God. You tell your wife, I love you, while you're, I'm talking man deal now, you know, cleaning your gun. Oh yeah, I love you. Yeah. Putting oil in your fishing reel. The greatest woman in the world. You know, you're not reciprocating much love there. You got it? But boy, when you're sitting down there and it's just you and she on that, you know, that anniversary, that one time a year when y'all go out to supper together and look each other in the eye. I just want you to know how much I love you. We don't do that even with people we know so much. We really don't do that with God. You really, really, we need to put all of our heart into loving God. If we would do that, everything else in this life would begin to find its proper place. Everything else in this life would begin to find its proper emotion. everything else in life would begin to straighten out. He said, that is the principal thing. Love me with all of your heart. Do you realize that the value of everything you and I do hinges on how we love God? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know the verse, but let's look at the first part of it just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The value of everything we do in life hinges on our love for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at this great thing that Paul said he could do. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men, that's one thing, and of angels, that's a bigger deal, and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, that's worthless. He says, although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and even if I could tell you the date of the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, have not charity, I am what? Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, a martyr, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That's amazing. That says that everything you and I do in our lives, if we want it to have any value whatsoever, it hinges on our love for the Lord God. Now, if I took a poll right now, put out a piece of paper, and I said, how many of you love God, yes or no, get it all back, I would have a basket full of yeses. Praise God. And then if I said, rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, but I preached on this message for about 30 more minutes and just kept driving point the home of getting alone with God and really pouring all your heart in love to Him, there probably wouldn't be a 10 in the house. But there should be. There should be. You see, the disciples were hanging around Jesus Christ one day, and Mary came in to anoint Jesus Christ before His burial. Remember that? And they said, what a waste. This ointment could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Verse 3. And the Lord said, she hath done what she could. She hath anointed my body, you know, before the burial. And He said, and wherever this gospel is preached, what she's done is going to be made mention of her. Listen, it's in all four gospels. In other words, Jesus said, this is a big deal. Why? Because it was motivated by her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, do you love me? We know about it after the fact. He would have told Jesus before the crucifixion, you know I love you. And then, because he got mad, he denied him. That widow threw two mites in there, and the Lord said, hey, who gave the greatest offering today? And they said, I don't know, we weren't paying attention to it. He said, see that widow walking out the door right there? That one right there. Because she hath given me all of her living. Listen, it wasn't just the fact that she gave all of her living. Don't you know it was motivated by her love for God? People don't just throw that money in there like that if they don't love God when it's all they have. There was an adulterous woman when Jesus Christ was eating with a Pharisee named Simon. She's over there anointing His feet and wiping, you know, and crying tears on His feet and wiping all that off with her hair. And Simon is disgusted and says, you know, if he knew who that woman was, he wouldn't let her touch Him. But her sins were many and they were forgiven. And he said, you want to know about that woman? She loved much. See, it's not how big the deal is that you do for God. It's how much you love Him. And it may be a very small thing that you do, and we get all hung up on, am I doing a big enough thing? Am I really where God wants me to be? Man, if you're in love with God, you are where God wants you to be. And then He'll take it from there. Because everything you do then will be motivated not by being the greatest prophet, not by being the greatest tongue talker, not by being the greatest martyr, not by being the biggest giver, but by the person who loved the most. That's the gauge. Listen, listen, you want to talk about something to put your heart in? Put your whole heart into loving God. Turn with me to Psalm 119 and see another thing. You want to put your whole heart into something? I mean, really and truly, when I finish my life, don't you feel the same way? You want it to count for something? Somebody asked Boris Becker one time about life, and he said, tennis is life. Now, listen, I'm not taking anything away from him when he said that. In the context, you know what he did? He put everything into tennis, and he was good. And he's still involved. He's a coach today to the number one player in the world. And somebody asked, you watch these guys that compete like that. You know what they do? They put everything into it. Psalm 119, look at verse 34. As Christians, we ought to put everything into these things as well. Put your whole heart into loving God. Verse 34. Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it. How? With my whole heart. With my whole heart. You see this Bible right here? There's a lot to this book. There's a whole lot to this book. And, you know, the Bible shows us everything that we need to know about God that God wants us to understand. It's recorded right here. If you go to Washington, like we were recently, and you stand on the Capitol steps and you look toward the Library of Congress, that's a great big building. It's got a lot of books in there. I'm going to tell you something. This is the most important book that's ever been written in the universe. And it's more important than all of those books put together. This one book. If you want to put your whole heart into something, put your whole heart into observing the words of this book. Jesus Christ said that that's a gauge of your love for Him. He said, if you love me, you keep my words. Now, the importance of having the Bible, there are many things that are important about it, but the importance of having the Bible when you love God with all of your heart, you don't have any place to control that love. In other words, there's nothing that defines that love or how that love should be expressed. But when you put your whole heart into the words of God, now you have a balance. And your love is not based on how you feel toward God. And your love is not based on how high you get when you go to church. Or what your emotions are in the times with God. It's based on faith. Your love is based on the faith of God's words and not on the feelings that you have. There are some people that wake up, they don't feel very good, but they sure love God. And it's because their love is founded in the faith of the words of God. You see, the words of God are what direct your love of God into faith in God. You need to put your whole heart into these words right here. The Bible says, and Jesus is the one that quoted this to the devil, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We don't love these words like we should. Years ago, there was a girl that was reading her Bible, and she loved this book. She loved this book. And she would read and read and read. She went blind. And it was a progressive blindness. And so what she did while she still had some sight is she learned to read Braille. And she loved the Bible so much that when she did lose her sight and she got her Braille Bible, she read it so much, listen, that her fingers got calloused. That's a lot of Bible reading. But you know why she did that? Because she loved the words. And as the calluses built up on her fingers, she couldn't feel the nubs of the Braille. And so one day she got the idea that she would remove the calluses, and she got a little knife. And she cut too deep. And what she did is she ruined the nerve endings on her fingers. She didn't know that's what she was doing when she did it, but that's what happened. And she couldn't read her Bible anymore. She couldn't see it, and she couldn't feel it. And at that time, it wasn't recorded like you can get on audio. It was before all that time. And she wept and wept and wept that she wasn't going to be able to read the Bible anymore. And so she took her Bible one day and brought it to her lips to kiss it. And when her lips touched the page, she could feel the nubs and realize that with her lips, she could read her Bible. Is that how you love your Bible? You ought to put your whole heart into it. You know what? You wouldn't have to worry anymore about how much you knew or didn't know about that book. Because of your love for the Lord God that wrote this book and your love for the words in this book, you'd get all you needed when you got there. You may not be the greatest scholar that ever lived. You may not be able to answer one debate on any of those great theological concepts that have been debated by men. But when it got down to knowing the God of this book, you'd know Him better than anybody that could discuss the theology of this book. And that's the key, is knowing God as He reveals Himself to you in these words. Put your whole heart into it. But that's not all. Look in Psalm 9. Psalm 9. You ought to put your whole heart into loving God. You ought to put your whole heart into keeping the words of God. Here's another one, Psalm 9, verse 1. And may I say something to you? I'm humbled to even be able to preach this message today because I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. Don't think I'm holding myself out as the guy that loves Him enough you ought to love Him like me or reads and loves this book enough that you ought to love it like I do. I'm not holding myself out as anything. I'm in the seat with you. I just happen to be up here and I have to preach this message. We need to love God and keep His words with all our hearts. And here's another one. Psalm 9:1. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. In Psalm 111, verse 1, he says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. You ever praise God with your whole heart? You always say, I wouldn't want to do that. Not here. I wouldn't want anybody to see me. Who said that you're supposed to praise Him one way in the shower and another way when you come to church? Say, well, I don't want to look like a fool. I look like a fool every time I get up here. This is called the foolishness of preaching. That's what it's called. I'm supposed to look that way anyway. You ought to put your whole heart into praising God. I mean, really and truly, when we come here together and we get one of these hymn books and we open it up to sing, you know, this really isn't, I know it seems that way sometimes, it's really not to check off, okay, we got that part done. What's the next thing on the program, Bobby? Song number two. Everybody turn to song, okay, pink. All right, what's next? Oh, come up here and make some announcements. Okay, make some announcements. Now what? Oh, we're going to sing the meet and greet song. Okay. Now we got to endure the preaching, okay. And you know what's coming next is the invitation, right? Then we sing another little hymn and we'll all go to the house and eat lunch. Check. It's not about that. There is something, and Bobby's given you a few stories, there's something to every hymn that's written in this book. And this is a great opportunity for us, like the chorus of angels in heaven, to get together and bring our voices together in one unison and praise God. But you got to put your whole heart into it. Now, I've watched some of you with a ball game, and I saw your heart in that deal. You're over here like that. I can't believe he dropped that boy. They better do this fourth down and one. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. And he makes it first down. Yay! Come to church. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Touchdown! And sometimes you get lucky enough to spend $200 or $300 to watch one of those. I mean, they throw things and the confetti falls all over the place and everybody has a big time. I don't say we need to have a pep rally here, But when you're praising God, do you praise Him with all of your heart? Did you put all your heart into it? That's what He said. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. You know what that means? That you're not thinking about that other thing you normally think about when we go through the song service. Can't you do that? Haven't you sung some of these songs enough that you can actually be thinking about something else that has nothing to do with the song you're singing till it's over? How many of you can do that? There's all those backs. See, I want to look around real quick and see all of us that are backslidden. Here we go. You ought to try that when you've got three people that hit you in the foyer with announcements and you got the sermon on your mind and you're going to sit, put all your whole heart into the song. Right. But you know something I have found in song services? There are song services that I've been in, and so have you, where your whole heart was into the song. And I'm telling you what, it's a different response in your spirit, isn't it? When we have missions conference here, and we have about seven missionary families here, and then we have maybe even a special preacher and their families here, and we got a lot of special music on, and everybody's singing loud, it's different, isn't it? And you know what that is? It's not, well, the missionaries were here, and boy, that made it different. No, it's where our heart is. In praising the God of the songs that we sing. Listen, praising God in a song service with all of your heart is not for show. It's to match what the angels of God are doing up there in heaven. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 5? Every time anybody says anything about the Lord, they all fall down. And this great chorus, worthy is the Lamb. Well, we need to do song practice before we get there. So we'll be ready for that great thing when it happens to us. I'm telling you what, it's all different. I remember years ago, before I actually went to Bible college, I went to a graduation from that Bible college just to be there, to see it. And I remember we got there and the thing started right on time and we were 5 minutes late and it didn't have anything to do with me, I promise you. We walked in the foyer of that church and then we put our hand on the back door just like that door is right there. I put my hand on that door and got ready to pull that thing open and I'm telling you, there was something going on inside of that place like I'd never experienced before. And I opened that door and I am not a spiritually sensitive person. In other words, when the Spirit of God is moving, some people can say, boy, you could really feel God came down. I'm like, really? I didn't. I mean, I just don't have that sensitivity. Boy, I did in there. I walked in that place, a bunch of Bible-believing Christians singing at the top of their lungs, praising God, and there was something going on. In that meeting. And you know what that was? That was people praising God with the whole heart. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119 and look at verse 145. Psalm 119. You ought to love God with all your heart. You ought to keep His words with all your heart. You ought to praise Him with all your heart, with your whole heart. And here's another one. Psalm 119, look at verse 145. You got the gist of this now, so I can kind of pick up the pace on some of these points. But look at this thing right here, Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. What's he doing? He's praying. I will keep thy statutes. Notice he's keeping the words. I cried unto thee, save me, I shall keep thy testimonies. But he says, I cried with my whole heart. So you ought to put your whole heart into praying to God. Loving God, keeping His words, praising God. You ought to put your whole heart into praying to God. You know, we sometimes, I mean, let me just say what I'm about to say is better than not praying at all. But we sometimes pray with no more fervor than we would send a text message to heaven. So he says, you know, there's a real desperate situation going on. Oh, okay, hang on a sec. To God. Got that done. Somebody comes back to you. Did you pray for him? Sure did. And where there was no more enthusiasm, no more fervor, no more urgency in the prayer than sending God a text message. And listen, our prayers are to come from the heart, not just from a list and not just through the mouth. But it's easy to do that. It's easy not to cry unto the Lord with the whole heart. It's easy to just fall into a rut. And the Bible says that our prayers are to be effectual and fervent. You know, when your prayers come forth from a heart that truly loves God wholly and wholly loves His words and keeps those words and wholly praises God, that prayer life's not hard to do. Because you're already big time connected. You're talking to a friend. Do you realize that when you got baptized by the Spirit of God and the body of Christ, you are seated at the right hand of God in heaven? Do you realize that when your fellowship with Him involves your whole heart and you're connected with Him in His words and you're praising Him like they do in heaven, it's not a big deal to turn to Him and say, God, we need something done here now in prayer. And be able to pray that prayer in fellowship with a God like that and have the confidence that the prayer has been heard and God's going to do something with it. So often what happens is there's so little fellowship with God by the time we come in prayer, we're calling a bunch of other people to pray because we don't think there's any way we can even get through the door. But we forget where we are. We're already there in Christ. That's why I said when you pray, pray in my name. Why? We're here together. But we don't put our heart into it. It's not a desperate situation. A thing happened to me this year earlier. A situation I've been praying for something, and I've been praying for it regularly, but been praying about with the same fervor and fervency that you would send a text message to God. Oh God, take care of this situation. But I came face to face with that situation earlier this year that I've been praying about. And I'm telling you, something happened inside of me that was not me. Something got a hold of my heart. Something got a hold of my mind. Something got a hold of my spirit about that situation that I've been praying. And I just wept in prayer. Uncontrollably. I'm not a weeper, generally speaking. But that thing, I could not control it. And I told Ann, I said, I'm grieving like a death. You know what it was? Praying for some of my kids. Face to face with them. And it just broke my heart. And I realized, you know something? I've reached a depth in this thing of prayer that I haven't reached with anything else. But that's where God wants us to be when we pray. With our whole heart. With our whole heart. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Look here. Some of you are not in a right relationship with God today, and you came in here. Thank God you're here. I thank God you're here. But your relationship with God, it needs to be better than it is. I don't say that judgmentally. I'm not standing up here saying, Man, you don't even know how much we've been praying for you, dude. I'm not standing here being judgmental saying I know who that is. I'm saying I know the heart. When you get 200 people together in the same room, somebody's not in a right relationship with the Lord. You know that. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 10. Look what the Lord says. Yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Feignedly means faking it. Like you come to church and say, oh, I'm getting right with God. Well, you're not getting right with God. The heart's not in it. You're just saying that because you want us to think that you're getting right with God. No, he says in another place, he says, I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For, watch it, they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And I'll tell you what, there are people undoubtedly, I'm not standing here in judgment saying, ooh. I'm gonna look this way so the person I'm preaching about doesn't see me looking at them, but I'm gonna point my finger right there so they know I'm talking about them. Not doing that. Done it before, but not today. And you know why you keep going in your Christian life like this? Like you're loping on a, trotting on a horse? You know why it's going like this? And not, like you're on a, you've ever seen those, remember those things you put a quarter in the machine outside the barbershop and you're on the horse and it goes wah, 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 and you don't go anywhere and your spiritual life feels just like that? You know what that is? You're not repenting with your whole heart. You're just messing with it. I know I shouldn't do this. Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so glad that you said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I'm getting ready to go back and do it again. And when I finish, I'll come back and tell you I'm sorry again. You know what? Your quarter's going to run out soon. And then what are you going to do? Listen, that's not going to work. You know what needs to do? When God shows you something in your life that he doesn't want there, he's showing you for a reason because he wants you to turn from it and be done with it forever. And you know what you got to do? You get down before God and you cry out to the Lord and you say, Lord, not only am I sorry for who I am and what I'm doing, but I want this to change. I'm turning to you with my whole heart. And if you turn to God with your whole heart, you're not going to turn back to that thing that draws you away. Doesn't mean you're going to be sinless, do you understand? But you've got to stop this. That's not a spiritual life. It doesn't go anywhere. And the problem is you have to repent to the Lord with your whole heart. Listen, if you make the change deep down in the depths of your heart, it'll change what you're doing. And that's the only way it's going to change. And so if you're here today, and I don't know, I probably have to have a big invitation so you can sneak in with the invitation and nobody know that it was you. No, don't worry about all of us that are here. We've all been through this. We go through it regularly. Things don't change till you repent with your whole heart and turn to the Lord. With your whole heart. Then you can get the thing right. Completely. When Billy Bray got saved, he got saved in rescue mission. He was a drunk. And when he got saved, they said, what are you going to do now? He said, I'm going upstairs. They had a place where the men could stay. What are you going to do up there? He said, I'm going to stay up there until I know that I can come down from up there and never take a drink again. See, God was dealing with him right away. He got up there and he started praying. They said you could hear him up there in the middle of the night, 2 and 3 days into this thing, pounding on the floor, crying out to God, oh God! And everything else he might have said. Third day, he came down those stairs with a big old bright smile on his face, regenerated saint of God. They said, well, Billy, and he said, God gave me the victory on that thing. I am done. And he never touched it another day in his life. You know why? He turned to God with all his heart. One more thing. Turn to Psalm 119. And look at verse 2. I'm telling you that so you can take a deep breath now. Psalm 119, look at verse 2. Look very carefully. And this verse right here, listen, these two things I'm going to show you. This is principally for somebody. You've listened to this entire message, but you're not even saved yet. This is principally for you. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Put your whole heart into seeking God. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Israel, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. Listen, if you're sitting here today and you haven't yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, You're just like everybody else that sat here one day and hadn't found Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what you need to do? You need to seek him with your whole heart. You say, well, I went to church, but I didn't feel it. What were you expecting to feel? I asked a guy one time like that. He said, well, it's just not time yet. I said, how do you know that? He said, I just don't feel it. And I said, and so what is it supposed to feel like when it is right? Well, I don't know. Well, I said, well, how do you know then you haven't already felt it and just didn't know? Well, I don't know, but I still haven't felt it. And I said, boy, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved and you seek the Lord with your whole heart, you know what you're going to do? You're going to find him. You're going to find him. It's not hard to get saved. Remember that song we sang? Look and live. Why don't you look to Jesus with all of your heart? He's there. I found him. How many of y'all found him? He's not hard to find. You seek him with your whole heart, he's right there. But I'm going to tell you something. So you know what people are? They're like this. Well, I went to church today. Get saved? Nah. I guess I'll go back again in about 6 months, see if I find him. That's not seeking. I'm talking about golden egg stuff, man. Six kids. I mean, you got to look harder than they're looking. You understand? Or you never get the golden egg, ever. Listen, if you don't know the Lord, you have an opportunity to know him today. Right here, right now. So let one of our folks introduce you to the Lord. Randy and Maureen have had the privilege of doing that numerous times. They're good at it. If you're a saint here today and you're in need of repentance, you want to get some victory here, you're going to turn back to the Lord with all of your heart, with your whole heart, and you're going to find something. You can turn from those ways. If you're seeking God's will for your life, listen. Just love him with all your heart. Keep his words with all of your heart. Praise him with all of your heart. Pray to him with all of your heart. You'll have no trouble finding his will. Ever. You'll be right where he wants you to be. Anytime he needs you. That's how you do it. With all of your heart. Amen. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to study the words of God and see very carefully and diligently what you've written here for us. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help our folks. Help us, Lord. We need this message desperately. Father, please help us to put our whole heart into it. Now, Father, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I ask you to do several things, Lord. If we've got some folks here to me to make their way to the altar, please help them. Give them the courage to make the first step. It'll all be easy after that. Lord, I pray there's no debate in their heart whether they should or they shouldn't. If it's something your Holy Spirit's showing them to do, just let them do it. And if we've got somebody here today that is not saved, Father, I pray that they will respond to you. Is there anybody here today? Just lift up your hand and say, right now, say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm one of those. Just slip it up and put it right back down. We want to help you. We want to help you. Boy, maybe you need a good dose of repentance and just come close to the Lord with all your heart. Just do that. It's okay. There are already a lot of people here at the altar. Come join them. It'll be a good time and a good place for you. Father, I have your will and your way and what we do the rest of this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.